This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mak, Wang Xiaoning, and, we have Kusu Chuang in the studio this morning with us.
Guten Morgen.
Guten Morgen. Did you enjoy your extra hour of sleep, Chuang?
I did, vigorously. just made sure I got the extra 60 minutes. Just maximized everything.
All right. And now you are in studios with us. Welcome back. This morning, though, we're going to be taking a look at how Asian markets closed last Friday because the Nikkei was up 0.3%, the Hang Seng down 1.1%, the Kospi down 0.6%, Singapore SPI down 0.3%, and the KLCI also down 0.4%.
Well, the Chinese markets are still closed. Hong Kong markets will also be closed today. I was listening to you guys this morning. It's getting a bit hot under the collar in Hong Kong, so I'm not surprised. At least the markets are closed. There's some sheltering going
on. It's the Golden Week, Chuang.
I didn't know that.
They're really closed for 1 week to celebrate China's National Day.
You see, that's how ignorant I am about markets nowadays. It's the ostrich. It's the ostrich under the ground, hit under the ground syndrome.
Well, in the US as well, though, markets are solidly in the green on the back of a US jobs report, which came out last Friday. The Dow, the Nasdaq and the S&P 500 all closed up 1.4%. Now, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell also didn't give any signals last week on whether he would be favouring another rate cut at upcoming meetings in October and December. But two Federal Reserve policymakers, including one who opposed this year's interest rate cuts, signalled they're open to considering additional easing, particularly after Friday's data showed US job growth slowed in September. So for more on this morning, we speak to Kingsley Jones, founder and chief investment officer at Jevons Global. Thank you for joining us, Kingsley. So do you think it's time for the Fed to cut further, or should they wait it out a bit more?
Well, it really switched from a flattening yield curve to a steepening curve. So yield at short maturities are moving down, which is generally consistent with a view that, in fact, they will cut. The reasons for it, I think, in the wake of the negative surprise to U.S. manufacturing data via the PMI data. So further move down in rates seems likely. I think the background here, though, is that the Fed itself is involved in a bit of a political standoff with the Trump White House. They want to retain independence both in fact and perception, but that's getting more difficult now. If they don't move again in the next meeting in October, we think they'll certainly move in December because they need to get ahead of this weakening in manufacturing conditions.
And still on US, we're going to see September's CPI data later this week. What are your expectations here?
Well, we'd expect that data to be mixed. I mean, the manufacturing and agriculture sectors in the US are weak. And so there's less pressure on prices from that area. However, of course, we have the tariffs, and that's putting upward pressure on imported prices. The consumer is still relatively strong in the US now, and labor markets are okay, although they're a little bit softer in growth in those September job numbers. So we think we'll probably see higher prices. So overall, we expect the CPI gauge to remain robust. And it's that strength in both labor and CPI that's probably preventing the Fed from lowering rates more aggressively at this time.
Well, keeping in mind both the pending Fed action decision and CPI data, what's your investment strategy looking like?
Look, these are pretty tough conditions. I mean, we've had a long cycle expansion now, and there are very much conflicting forces or cross currents in the global economy. We've got weakening global trade and manufacturing data, but still low U.S. unemployment. We've got a pretty fractious political environment in a number of places, not only the U.S., but also in the U.K., obviously, with Brexit, and on the ongoing unrest and troubles in Hong Kong. So, confidence now, I think, is key. And in this environment, we're narrowing our selection of equities to some that are more defensive and also playing some late cycle areas like aerospace and defense. So we like stocks in the utilities, especially like NextEra. We've remained long transports like Union Pacific and Canadian Rail, but it's starting to look a little bit less like a area of strength with that weak US data in agriculture and manufacturing.
And Kingsley, moving over to Europe as well a little bit this morning, we've got quite a bit of data coming out of Germany this week. So August manufacturing orders, industrial production, as well as trade balance. What are you going to be paying attention to, and do tell us why?
Well, look, you know, that situation in Germany has really been the big concern. I mean, obviously the German manufacturing industrial sector has been the real powerhouse of Europe for many years, and it seems to be in a manufacturing recession. We sold out automotive exposures with that in mind, with the exception of a tire maker in France, Michelin. Look, the European market's under a lot of stress. The banking system's been undermined by negative interest rates. That reduces their profits and ability to lend. We have the ongoing concerns of Brexit. And then we have, a security situation which is stable, but the outlook is a little bit murky with tensions between NATO and Russia and the collapse of the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty. So certainly that's creating a tense environment, and we think it'll be heavy going for investors in Europe for some time.
Thank you very much, Kingsley. And that was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global. And speaking of tense environments, trade talks are also set to begin on Thursday. Well, they are set to begin on Thursday with Chinese Vice Premier Liu He leading a contingent to Washington. But it seems now that some senior Chinese officials have indicated the scope of topics they're willing to discuss are even more limited than they were before.
That's right. So the Chinese apparently will not offer commitments on Chinese industrial policy or government subsidies, which have been the target of long-standing US complaints. And of course, Donald Trump has said repeatedly he will entertain only an all-encompassing deal with China.
Meanwhile, in the US, despite unemployment rates hitting a 50-year low, job losses are gripping the manufacturing industry. Payrolls at factories contracted by about 2,000 in September. This is in stark contrast to economists expecting a 3,000 gain. These numbers indicate the hit factories have taken due to trade war in China and slowing global growth.
Yeah, so both of these are increasing prices for companies and causing a lot of investment uncertainty. Still, I mean, jobs are a lagging indicator, but it follows other also slowing indicators like manufacturing contracted for the second straight month to the lowest level since 2016, and capital equipment orders also, which are a proxy for investment, they rose at the weakest pace in 4 months in August.
Yeah, so that's right. Still on the money front, PayPal, as we all know, they've pulled out of the Libra Association. And in case you're wondering what that is, it's not something which has got to do anything with horoscopes. It is Facebook's new vision for currency. And of course, according to the Financial Times, PayPal was concerned that Facebook hadn't done enough to address the regulatory backlash against the project, especially over money laundering concerns.
Yeah, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell and the Governor of Bank of England, Mark Carney, among those who had questioned whether a platform like Libra could enable money laundering or hurt financial stability. The EU also wanted to know how Libra will manage its reserves, protect consumer data, and address the potential for widespread use of digital currency to spawn threats to financial stability. Remaining Libra backers are expected to sign a membership declaration later today to signal their commitment, and this current juncture includes the likes of Visa, MasterCard, Stripe, Uber, Lyft, and Coinbase. But however, PayPal did come out to say that it's at this juncture not joining, but it's not something that they will not consider at a later date.
Yeah, because I think they're just concerned that Facebook hasn't really come out to allay any of these concerns satisfactorily just yet, but perhaps they will in future. Because I mean, this should have been expected, right? When you talk about any kind of cryptocurrency like the Libra, the concern is always that it will be used for illicit practices. Like, this is the same concern that was faced by Bitcoin. And even though Facebook's Libra is supposed to be a stable coin, backed by a basket of currencies, that possibility still does exist.
Yeah, there's still many questions left unanswered, right? How this will be what kind of role Facebook will have, how much intrusion it has in terms of privacy and your own data. So I think the regulators have to relook at how this cryptocurrency will be used, because it's definitely the way for the future.
Well, money, like life, always finds a way, doesn't it? And sometimes they are above board and sometimes they are below board. And you might even go as far as to suggest that if the Libra Association were to find itself having a portion of its flows in below the line activities, then there's some kind of affirmation of its activity.
Well, I guess we'll have to keep our eye on the situation over there with Facebook and the Libra Association. But right now we are heading into a few messages, and after that, some local stories for you. So keep it here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.